Well, God bless you and welcome. Let's take our Bibles and go to Proverbs 23. I want to share a little bit this morning on As a Man Thinks. We began 2016 with our teaching and focus on Let's See the New You, talking about making lasting changes in our lives, to be resolved about our resolutions in regard to our walk as beloved ones of God. We looked at the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance, that leads a man to change, going from one direction and making that flip turn and heading back quickly across in the opposite direction toward God, toward the blessings of God, toward the more abundant life that God has called us to. And that it is his sweetness of disposition that leads us to change, where we're motivated out of a love of honor, where we've gone from bad to good, from sickness and corruption and decay to healthy and revitalizing, to change not because your mind is pained or you're ashamed, but because you are so encouraged to live a more virtuous life and change without a threat, but change because you are so loved. Once we understand this proper motivation for change, the great dynamic of change begins with changing your thinking. And in many situations, it's not just changing what you think, but changing to how you think. Proverbs 23 here, and in verse 7, it gives us a great truth. Now, this is set in a negative situation, but it shows us a tremendous truth about how we may direct our lives and why we receive the things that we do, both positively and negatively. It says in verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Really something. This scripture is not speaking of the fleeting thoughts that go across a man or a woman's mind, your daydreams about riding along on a boat and out on the water fishing or doing some other activity that you enjoy. Those things are always available for you to enjoy and to be blessed by. But it's not those things that really affect a man or a woman's life. It's nice to get rest and it's nice to take on other activities. But that is not really what sort of makes or breaks the more abundant life. It is those thoughts that we hold deeply in our hearts that affect our confession and affect our lives. Those things that we confess in our hearts that truly affect our lives. In many cases, like I say, it is a matter of changing how we think about things. For instance, how we think about relationships, how we think about our employment, how we think about our finances or money or goods or other things of that nature. And most of all, how we think about God and how we think about spiritual matters. What and how we think does affect our hearts. And our hearts determine what we believe, and believing will determine the results that we have in our lives. The outcome, so to speak, of our lives. If we are dissatisfied with the results that we're getting, if we're dissatisfied with the outcomes that we are achieving or not achieving, how's that? We ought to consider our thoughts. What am I thinking about, or how am I thinking about this? And what do I need to do to change? What do I need to do to see the new you? I want to see the new me. If I were to put it in a simple equation, perhaps, If you change what you think, you can change your heart. And if you've changed your heart, you can change, and you have changed, what you believe. And if you change what you believe, you can change the results in your life. You will literally change your life. To look at a connection in this, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. And this is a scripture that Jesus shared, and a truth that Jesus shared with his disciples in regard to their prayers. Answered prayer. And it says in verse 23, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Well, let's start from verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Have the believing that God believes, so to speak. For verily, or truly, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Here he is talking to whomsoever. This law of life is so huge that it affects everyone and anyone. Everyone and anyone can do that. Believer, non-believer. Saint of God and the evil man. They all have a right to this great principle of truth that God has set for men and women. And he said it really to benefit our lives. Will people use it wrongfully? Yes. But it is a great truth. Now, I'm not talking about positive thinking. This is far beyond positive thinking. I used to devour books on positive thinking when I was growing up, especially in my high school years. I used to read everything on positive thinking, positive believing, and I endeavored to be positive. But I would look in the mirror, and I would realize when I looked in the mirror, nothing had changed. So what have I got to be positive about? But I knew I needed to be positive, but every time I would look in the mirror, I'd say, there's the same old me. What do I need to be, you know, what is there that I should be positive about? My education, my work, my relationship with other people. They're all good, somewhat. But I really didn't see anything that took me further until I got born again and learned how to speak in tongues, and I received something brand new from God that changed the equation of my life, that uplifted my heart and let me know I had received something of such a nature that my life would no longer be the same from that day forward. It goes on to say, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. I think it's very interesting that the word desire is the word for ask or demand. People say, now, whoa, wait a minute, Larry, you're talking about ordering God around. No, I'm talking about what he has told us. Whatsoever things you desire, ask or demand. When you get into the field of heating and air conditioning, we talk about your thermostat. And your thermostat, as the temperatures go down, will send a demand to your furnace, which will click on automatically and raise the temperature up to what you have set it at. It's called, in their terminology, it's called a demand. It's supposed to do this. It's supposed to maintain a level that is comfortable for me. And it will work both in air conditioning and with heat. If I set it on a certain degree, it'll make a demand on my air conditioner to lower the temperature. If I set it to a certain degree, it will make a demand upon my furnace. Now, both my furnace and my air conditioner has the ability to supply it and readily does it. Same with our God. He has the supply, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then we can argue, what's my need? Am I being too needy? Am I being too demanding? He says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you have received them and ye shall have them. Isn't that beautiful? Well, the scripture tells us that the just shall live by faith or by their believing. So it seems that it would make good sense that we protect the area where our believing emanates from and encourage it and strengthen it so that it produces those things which we want. And as godly men and women who desire to do the will of God, we know we are right in alignment and harmony and utilizing those truths and those elements as he has set them forth to be utilized. Like in relationships, the scripture is filled with good thoughts in regard to our relationships. Look at Colossians chapter 3. In this great epistle to the Colossians. Now, they're all over the Bible, but I just wanted to look at this one and handle this one in regard to our relationships. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, here's what the scriptures tell us about our relationship, one of our relationships, husband and wife. It says in verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Well, there is God's good thoughts concerning the relationship of a husband toward a wife. Love your wife and be not bitter against them. Beautiful. And he says, I'm not bitter. I'm just mad. Then when you disagree or argue, why do you say the things you say if you're not bitter? Why do you make cutting remarks? Why do you want to cut her to the bone and get her off my back and stop? Is that a good utilization of your thought life? Is that kind of thinking helping you to live the more abundant life? Is that the kind of thinking that is going down into your heart and bringing you the results that you desire? I think that's sort of working backwards and working away from what you really desire, because what you really desire is the love relationship of your marriage. And when you either allow those thoughts to cross your mind or say them out loud, you are telling your heart something. You're making confessions to your heart regarding your spouse. And those confessions will do you damage, because when your heart believes them, you are going to then receive them. Very simple. What does your mouth, or why does your mouth spit out these kinds of things? Today you're lovey-dovey and you're talking, oh, she's, this is my baby, this is my wife, you know, all these different things. But in the heat of confrontation, or in the heat of a discussion, or in the heat of making a decision, your words are much different. James, and this is in relationship to a lot of other things, but the same truth applies. If you go to James chapter 3, and in verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and what? Cursings. When you allow those kinds of thoughts to cross your mind and start to dwell in your mind, number one, you are confessing to yourself, and number two, you are cursing both your wife and your relationship. Now, how are you going to have a good relationship in that which you curse? But it is tied to your confession, and it is tied to your thinking. Why allow your mind to go there? Why allow your thoughts to dwell there? Why allow them to sneak into your life and destroy that which is taking both of you to build? Something that you perceived when you asked her to marry you, and I'm just handling marriage in this regard. It's not the end all of marriage, but it's a question. I mean, you wanted to marry this woman. You wanted to go to the altar and before God, whether you did it at a justice of peace or anything else, before God, utter these vows that you're going to make, because you thought you were going to get into this terrible situation and be miserable for the rest of your life. That wasn't even close. What did you think? I love this woman, and I'm going to grab her up before somebody else does. What is the root of the problem in your relationship is your thought life. And where it was good, an enemy has now snuck in and filled it with bad. And you are getting the results of your bad thinking, not the results of a marriage, not the results of your choice to marry. But you are a target of your own thoughts, and you will be a fatality of your own thoughts. Just being honest. But you can change the way you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, man has free will to change his thoughts. And we have the right, and we have the authority, and we have the word to tell us, what are these good thoughts I should be thinking regarding my spouse, regarding my wife? I know I am not to be bitter, and I am to love my wife. And there are many other instructions in the scriptures that I am not going to go into today. Maybe at another point I might, but they're there for you. Search them out. If you're in a marriage relationship, you have a duty to search them out and make sure that your thoughts are aligning with the word. See, we don't develop a lifestyle and then look back and try and tag it to some scriptures. You know, a lot of people do things and then they'll say, oh yeah, that goes with that scripture. No, no, no. You get the scripture first. You understand the scripture first. And then you act upon the scripture. see. But now if you've been caught, you can change. We cannot change events that have happened in our lives. Those cunning words that we said, those things that you, at your best moment, wish you could stuff back in your face and push back into your tongue and swallow the bile of things you knew you should not have said. And number one, you should not have allowed that thought to even linger 1 second. But we can't change events in our lives, but we certainly can change the way that we think about them. Don't allow your past to determine your future. But Larry, it takes two people in a relationship. Yes, but it only takes one to change course. If you'll go, we were in, where were we? Jane, oh good, stay there. I flipped a page. I must have been getting excited and shoved my Bible or something. It says in James 3, verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Did you really know that you can have greater power than a horse physically? You can completely turn a horse. A horse could be heading in this direction, but if you pull on the reins, that bit in his mouth will redirect him in another direction. Maybe in some areas of life we need a bit in our mouths so that we can be redirected in another direction. But you can turn about an entire horse. Verse 4, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." The governor is the captain of the ship, the guy who's piloting the ship. Did you know that ships, the fastest sailing point on a sailboat is into the wind? You would think it's to have the wind at your back, but it's not. The fastest point of sail is to direct it into the wind, if you've ever sailed. The helmsman, the governor, has the authority by pulling on that helm to direct that ship wherever he wants to go, and it can be turned, regardless of how fierce the winds are. And I know things blow up suddenly. I know things just occur. But you, if you're the captain of the ship, which you like to think you are, you can redirect that ship to a safer port where everyone can get off in safety and in blessings. See? Look at Hebrews 12. Let's go back a little bit here from James. But you can do, one man can change the direction of entire ship and bring all of those people who are freaked out by the storm back into a safe harbor. One guy can do that. So do you think one person can change a marriage? Look, if I am making a recipe, like I'm making cookies, and I put in the flour, I put in the sugar, I put in milk and whatever else you need to make cookies. However, I decide instead of putting in chocolate chips, I'm going to put in marzipan. Can I change that? Do I change the taste of the cookies? Yes, by changing one ingredient. Can you do that? Can you change at least one ingredient? You will change the entire taste of the recipe. One person is powerful enough to make change. And when we act according to the word, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ will make the same change. And don't tell me she doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. Even if she didn't, she had the capacity to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why you married her. So she can always get back. You didn't marry Seed of the Serpent. As much as some of you guys might think. No. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 15. We'll start in verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be what? Healed. Change direction. Let it heal. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up does what? Trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Don't allow yourself to be troubled. Do not allow yourself to be defiled. You can enjoy the wonderful blessings of marriage that God designed for men and women. Husbands, love your wives and find out how to love them according to the scriptures. And put those things in your mind. Don't fail on the grace of God. People talk about the battlefield of the mind, but I think it is more of a deception of the mind. It's not a subtle, attack of machine gun fire and bombs and all these other things. It is all these subtle things, secretive. The whispering, the slanders. If you allow the adversary to slander your wife and you listen to those things, they will eventually get into your heart. And if they get into your heart, they have attacked the believing area of your life. And if they have attacked the believing area of your life, they have attacked the results that God had promised you. And you're not going to get the results that you wanted. You're not going to get the desired effect that you wanted. The outcome will be changed. And he's very secretive. It's more of a spy versus spy. It's more of a deception, the magician show. It's more of the whispers and the slanders and the damning curses that they speak. And do not allow your mind. Guard your mind with all diligence, as it tells us in Proverbs. For out of it, out of your mind, out of your heart, come the issues of life. And if you want the issues of your life to be filled with bounty, filled with blessings, guard it. Don't allow the slander. Don't allow the whispers. Don't allow yourself to put the bit in your mouth and be turned by something else. Grab hold of the helm and redirect yourself to a safe port. The Word of God. These truths actually apply in all of life. Because we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, sure. And how do you think about other people in relationships? For instance, an employer and an employee. How do you think about your job? And it's hard because you always will have people there who are ragging on about the job, ragging on about the boss, ragging on about the supervisor. Oh, he should have done this. He didn't do that. He said, don't allow those words to dwell in your mind, because they will become the confessions of your heart. And once they become the confessions of your heart, they have hit the source of your believing, and you are going to get the results of what you're believing for and believing about. And you don't have to live that way. And I'll go into that in a little more depth. But your coworkers, your relationship with your neighbors next door, and people you come in contact, they're all neighbors. And the scriptures say, love thy neighbor as the, it's part of the first and great commandment, because he said, the second is like unto this, and like unto this means the same. Equally the same. Love your neighbor as your friends. Here's another relationship. Did you ever have a relationship with your friend blow up? It shouldn't. You may have to let go of the helm for a little while. Grab hold of the helm. Redirect it. Redirect your thinking. See, don't be defiled, nor be a defiler. Remember Hebrews 13, allowing the root of bitterness to grow. It says man, but it, you know, that's anyone who gets bitter, you know, women get bitterness too. And it says you will be defiled by it, and you will wind up defiling others. And you see that because as much as you may have said, or someone has said, I am not going to be like my mother. I am not going to be like my father. And 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, you're saying the exact same thing mom said. You are handling things the same exact way your dad did. He got silent, or he yelled and screamed. You wind up at the same place, because if you allow yourself to get defiled, you are going to wind up defiling your children at minimum. You may defile your friendship if you allow that bitterness to take root. Don't be defiled. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Yeah, verse 16 of Hebrews 12. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He sold his birthright. Man. Esau got to the place he so hated Jacob so much that even the blessings of God that he would have received as his inheritance, since he was the older, he lost. Change the way you think. He did not guard his mind. He allowed his suspicions. He allowed his perceptions of this, that, and the other thing to enter in, and along with the slanders of the devil, he started to let them, he confessed them, they sunk down in his heart, he believed them, and then he got the results. Oh, Jacob's always beat me out of everything. Jacob's such a son of a, you know what, you know, and he allowed it. But you know what, Jacob, it does mean supplanter, but it also means one who achieves over another through his abilities. It is not finding a scripture, like I say, to fit your lifestyle. It's fitting my lifestyle to the scriptures. That's what I'm after. Secondly, we trust too much in man's words. I know there are believers that read everything man has to say about relationships. And they have scriptures in them. Yeah, but are they rightly dividing those scriptures? Because like I say, people tend to want to make their lifestyle and then pick out scriptures that fit with the lifestyle I want to live. remember, you can justify the there is no God is in the Bible, but it's the fool says in his heart there is no God. But people will go to it and endeavor to allow make the scriptures fit my lifestyle instead of my lifestyle fitting what the Word of God says. And it's the Word of God that is truth. It's the Word of God that heals. We read all these books about health and healthful living, healthful eating that man writes. And half of it you don't even know. You know, I listen to these commercials regarding medications, and I think, yeah, do I want to trade in my itchy scalp to suicide? You know, may cause suicide, and think, you know, if you're allergic, don't take it. How am I going to know whether I'm allergic or not until I take it? You know, and yet, you know, people are taking them down, going to their doctor and demanding, I need this. That's just some of the things. I know the scriptures tell me how to have good health. It's through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm not against eating healthfully. I'm not against medications, though I may sound like it. I'm not against them. I'm not against doctors. But I am so for my Lord Jesus Christ that I want to make sure that I am obeying God first and I am listening to the Word of God first before I fill my heart with all these other things. Because I want and I desire for the outcome of my life to be the godly outcome that God forecast for my life. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. I haven't read this scripture in a long time. Maybe it's a good time to go back and read it. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that what? They have hewed them out cisterns regarding health. They've hewed them out cisterns regarding relationships. They have hewed them out cisterns regarding godliness. They have hewed themselves out cisterns regarding the end times. They have, but they hold no what?
Water.
And if you're thirsty, that's a troublesome thing. A lot of times the word water is used in the Bible to represent spirit. And if you hewed yourself out a broken cistern that holds no water, it's not that you lose the Spirit of God, but you lose the connection that you had with God in the sense that you're not using it anymore. Something else has elevated itself to the position that the cistern of God is to quench our thirst. It may salve your soul and appear an appeal to your humanity, but is a lot lower than where God desires for us to live. The reality of truth is far greater than any moment of fantasy. Now, wives, you know we have to get to wives because that's the other part of the relationship. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. I endeavor most of the time to try and keep the teachings down to 30 minutes. If I'm going too long for you, then eat it in two bites. How's that? It's still the Word of God. And I want to refresh your souls. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make you and encourage you to the truth of what you really desire, that you have whatsoever things you really desired. Colossians 3, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. A lot of us desire to be fit, but if we want to be fit in the Lord, then we need to submit to our own husbands. Sometimes it's easier to submit to your leadership, someone else's husband or something like that, but you are to submit to your own husband. We don't have arranged marriages anymore. So this one is the one you chose. You stood at the altar before God and committed yourself. Change the way you think about being fit. See, how can you serve the Lord if you're really not willing to obey him? I'll obey you up to this point. Can't do it. It'll start to break down and you will continue to have failure. We define submit as loving obedience by proper arrangement and a deliberate decision. The deliberate decision was already made when you decided to get married. The proper arrangement, some of those things work more and more as you develop your relationship. But if you're already at odds, it's going to be harder to get an agreement. You know, even in arbitration, you endeavor to find one place where you agree and then start to build from there so you can work out the entire problem. But you stood there and you said these vows, and I'm not talking about the designer vows that we make now in our modern weddings, you know. I promise to love and I don't want cherish. Let's use like you or all these designer things people come up. We have our own vows. Well, good. Go say them to God someplace. And same to each other, but I am endeavoring to get you to make the decision that you want the godly things. You want to utilize this great power and authority in the law of believing to be something that helps you achieve the blessings of God directly to your life and have the results the Word says. I'm speaking of those things that are right and proper as children of God. That's what we're after. Because that will build the marriage. That's what God designed marriage. It's not all these different variations that our modern society has come up with. But if you want to change the outcome of your life, change, first of all, what you think. What you allow to enter your mind. When you change your thinking to the blessings of God's word, you will then change your heart in a proper way. I'm talking about in a proper way. When you change your heart, you will have changed what you believe effectively. And when you change what you believe, you will change the outcome and the results in your life. The goodness of God truly does lead us to repentance, and next week we'll continue going into some of the other relationships and areas where it's good for us to take a review and see what the scriptures say on how we should think so that we may bring our lifestyle to the Word of God. Bless your heart.